Good morning and welcome to Mountain Money. This is Larry Warren along with Doug Wells. And Doug, did you have a good weekend? It was certainly gorgeous out there.
I had a great weekend. Yeah, enjoyed the changing colors of the leaves and a little mountain bike riding with my buddies. It was a good time.
Everybody's getting their last rides in here for the next couple of weeks. And with a little snow on the top, it's really pretty out there. So this is Mountain Money and interesting show this morning. We're going to talk to a Utah author with a book called Getting to It. Accomplishing the important, handling the urgent, and removing the unnecessary. And this is a guy who has been associated with Stephen Covey and Hiram Smith, which was Franklin Covey, the time management people. And he'll tell us about how to get more out of getting things done.
Well, and his previous book was Juggling Elephants. I haven't read that, but I am going to have a question or two on that. I wonder if it's a how-to book
but
or if it's a metaphor.
You got to love the title.
Yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely. Larry, our second two guests, everybody thinks, if you can come up with a better idea, you can build a business. And sometimes there's some truth to that. And I think our second two guests just epitomize that. Our second guest is going to be Chet Boxley. He came up with a company that he calls the Perfect Solution. And as the name might imply, it has to do with cats. It's,
really?
Believe it or not, it's a better cat litter that you can only buy at Furburbia out at the outlet center. So we're going to find out why it's a better cat litter and how business is going there. And then on our second guest that has a better idea, Larry, you and I were talking before the show about how we used to roast marshmallows. It's getting to be that time of the season again.
Indeed. What kid and parent hasn't enjoyed an evening around a campfire roasting weenies and marshmallows and making s'mores?
And if you've ever thought there should be a better roasting stick, turns out a local Park City entrepreneur, Stephen Weimer, has thought the same thing and has built a successful business around that. We're going to have Stephen come in and talk to us about rustic roasters. So it should be a good show, interesting topics. You're going to want to stay tuned. You're listening to Mountain Money on KPCW, and we'll be back in a moment. Stay tuned.
Hi, I'm Kelly from San Francisco Design, longtime supporter of KPCW. We provide a mix of European and mountain contemporary home furnishings for a unique Park City lifestyle. Our showrooms are in Park City and Salt Lake, and both offer complete design services. We're on the web at sanfrandesign.com.
And welcome back to Mountain Money, and we have on the line with us now Todd Musig, and Todd and Jones Laughlin, his writing partner, has written the book Getting to It, which is being released by HarperCollins just in the last week or so, and the subtitle is Accomplishing the Important, Handling the Urgent, and Removing the Unnecessary. A little bit about Todd. He's a senior training industry executive and consultant with a lot of experience in marketing and business operations. He's Utah-based and has been associated with Franklin Covey, as I said, and also with the Who Moved My Cheese guy, whose name escapes me right now, but that was Spencer Johnson. But he that was quite a popular business book a few years ago. Todd, welcome to the program.
Well, thank you. It's my pleasure to be here. Thanks, Larry and Doug.
Well, you bet. So given your background, Franklin Covey and Covey and Hiram Smith and the rest, is this all about time management, getting to it?
Getting to it really focuses on managing your time, but it's a lot more than just time management. I think we have heard lots and lots of ideas around planners and organization, and that this addresses a kind of a unique item and strategy around really focusing on those things that are most important. You know, we have unlimited possibilities, but we have limited time and resources sometimes. And so it seems that it's not always about choosing between, something that's bad and something that's good that's on our to-do list, but really about, what is the best thing for us to focus on? What is it, or our most important thing? So that's what that's our slant on, time and life management.
Well, and Todd, I want to bring you to the point you just mentioned, which is the importance of this topic. And I think the point in your book that illustrated it the most powerfully for me is your example of a parent teaching his child how to ride their bike with no training wheels and being able to be fully engaged and fully in the moment. So when your kid figures it out and looks back and says, "Hey, Dad, look at me, I'm doing it, that you're actually there and you're present in the moment as opposed to worried about something else. And as a father of two young girls that aren't so young anymore, I remember the time both of them rode their bikes for the first time. And I'm grateful that at that moment, I was able to be there 100%. And I think that's a great illustration of the importance of mastering this skill. Can you share with our audience some of the other aspects of why this topic is important?
Well, you know, I think that's an important point of being present in the moment. We tend a lot of times to claim that we're going to be present or we're going to show up, but when we show up, are we really focused? Are we really putting our attention on what is most important? And it's not always in our personal relationships too. Organizations do this as well, and individuals within organizations. There are so many opportunities that we can, and so many things that we can do, that a lot of times we try and do them all. We have our smartphones with us, so we're always in contact. But we can catch our emails as soon as they ding or ring or ping, and we can access in a smartphone so many wonderful things. That's the good news, but that's also the bad news, because if we really want to sit down and focus on something, do we really give it the time, attention, and energy? So that's an important part. We talk about in our book about 8 strategies to really take those opportunities that we could focus on and then really make those happen and to the point of accomplishing it. So there's a lot of details in that strategy.
Well, is this a takeoff on or an evolutionary step beyond what swept the business world 15, 20 years ago, the Franklin Day Planner, where I never took the class, but I guess there was a class you could take along with having your Franklin Day Planner with a with a pyramid of things to do to get to the important thing at the top.
Yeah. A value-based approach, or really looking at and having a way to narrow it down. The early days of Franklin, they had the productivity pyramid and the ability to narrow things down. But really coming back to that value-based, or what's most important, going back to our norms, beliefs, our goals, to help us keep focused or help us to eliminate all the things that we can accomplish is an important strategy. It really is. It's funny, 20 years ago when we were doing workshops, we would ask the question, how many of you formally sit down and, set New Year's resolutions or goals or things like that? I bet in a room, 20 years ago, I'd see half or three quarters of the room raise their hand. It's amazing in the last, even in the last year, I'll ask that question, and I'll get 1% or 10%, of the people that will raise their hand, that they formally sit down and write down their goals or their resolutions or the things that what they want to accomplish.
Well, and I think that points to how hard it is to do this right? I think part of the reason that 20 years ago you'd have a lot more hands is people were hopeful, they had tried it. I think now many of us are disappointed. We set these New Year's resolutions. We get to October where we are now and say, gee, how am I doing on that? Which brings me to my next question. Larry was talking earlier about the time planners, and there's various tools out there. And people fall into two categories. When I see somebody bring out their big, thick time planner, I think this guy or gal is either really going to be on it or is not going to follow up with anything. And it's funny, they have these elaborate organizing tools, and I usually try to leave a meeting like that with a touch point within a day or two, because that will tell me whether I'm dealing with somebody that's really organized or not. Why is it so hard for people to get organized?
Well, I think one of those main things is that people strive just to get stuff done. You know, you have your planner, and so you make a list, and pretty soon that list is 100 items long. And really, that's the differentiator that that we saw, is that it's not a shortage of stuff to do anymore. You know, one of the strategies we talk about is, even the first strategy, is to stop. That sometimes we just have to stop and say, wait a minute, what is it that I'm trying to accomplish, and what is most important? So what is it that should get on that list? Not how do I get that all that stuff on that list done? Because there's, you know, we all have those to-do lists that we read on Monday, and it's still good on Sunday, because there's, you know, there's so many things that we put on that list. So really it's that discipline to step back and say, all right, what is it that I'm trying to accomplish, and what should be on my list? And then once it is on my list, how do I execute it? Execute the other half, right? It's one thing to put it on the list. It's the other thing to actually get it into our day and accomplish it. So to your point, you know, it's great to have an organizer. It's great to write everything down. But if we have this big list and some of those items on that list aren't even important to us and shouldn't even be, you know, considered, that's an issue. Sometimes we have to say no, and I think that's a hard thing for people to say, and that goes back to the defining it and making sure we're getting the important things on our list.
I guess maybe I'm a little bit of a skeptic. Are we busier now than people have ever been, that we need systems and methods and planners and software and smartphone apps to get through the day in an organized manner? I mean, I would think my parents in the Depression were pretty darn busy too. And I don't know that other than a scrap of paper maybe to remind them to do something, you know, people have always been busy and have always gotten through the day.
Exactly, but what were they busy on? I mean, in the days of the Depression, or, you know, the days before electronic devices, what were they busy on? What are people busy with today? I think that's a big differentiator, which, again, goes back to, you know, the first step we talk about is defining it. Again, we talk about smartphones. I can access amazing amount of data on my smartphone. And I think a lot of people spend a lot of time, you know, focusing on, you know, social media. And there are so many, you know, I hate to call them distractions, but so many things that can get in the way. And to your point, you know, and the skepticism is, am I focusing on what's most important? I'm a big believer in goal setting, as you can, you know, probably guess and hear in some of the strategies. But the ability to be able to narrow it down and say, here's what's most important to me. Spending that time with my daughter and teaching her how to ride the bicycle and being there in the moment, as opposed to checking my phone at the moment and being distracted. And a lot of people say, well, I get home at night and I spend time with my kids. But are they really spending time with their kids? Are they watching TV? Are they, you know, working on their computer, on their laptop, on their smartphone? So it really comes back to, you know, defining it. Once you define it, to believe it, we talk about communicating it, and then, you know, really then doing it and saying no to the other distractions and being focused on those goals that we set and accomplishing those. That's where fulfillment comes.
So, Todd, you've got me, right? I mean, I'm 100% with you on the goal. Help us understand, for folks in the audience that are like, okay, that's I agree, that's important, that's something I want. What are a couple tools that folks can use to allow them to stay in the moment and to compartmentalize maybe better?
Yeah, so number one, define it. What is most important? I've talked about that in detail. So identifying that, but doing that formally writing down and saying, what are those things that I'm going to accomplish it? Another strategy we talk about is the importance of communicating it so that others around us understand what it is we're focused on. And that takes shape in, you know, support and and allows you to share your passion and removes suspicion and confusion. But it also adds a lot of great resources when you communicate what's most important, what you're trying to accomplish. A simple story, but it illustrates the point. We love to travel, and my wife will throw out on social media, we're going to this city, you know, does anybody have recommendations for, you know, our visit to this city? It's amazing the amount of ideas that people give to us, you know, via social media of what we should do. Some of our best trips are, you know, following in people's steps, going to the restaurants that they recommend, doing the activities. That's one of the big values of communicating. Again, that's simple, but that's a great tool to help you stay focused. There's some accountability there as well as when you tell somebody, I'm going to do this. I'm going to lose 30 pounds. You know, pretty soon people start asking you, how are you doing on your diet? How are you doing losing those 30 pounds? So creating a plan is another important tool. And formally sitting down and planning your day, your week, your month, and saying, this is what I'm going to accomplish and do this week. But again, formally doing it, not in the back of your mind, not in, you know, on a scrap of paper, but sitting down and saying, this is what I'm going to accomplish today, and here are the things that I'm going to do, and how does that align with, you know, what I've defined.
And one of your chapters in the book is called Do It, and I love your advice there. You give the example of, you know, we all come home from work, we're tired, and, you know, one of the folks that you interviewed, physical fitness is important, getting home, he wants to ride his bike, but, you know, he's tired. And so he makes a deal with himself. I'll go out and do this for 6 minutes, and if at the end of the 6 minutes I still feel tired, I'm going to come back. And occasionally he does come back because he is still tired. But 90% of the time he keeps going. And I thought it was a great illustration of the power of just taking those first steps.
Yeah, execution is so important. You could create the greatest plan, and to your point, you could get it in your planner and you could write it down, but at the end of the day, it comes down to executing on it. And, you know, sometimes other distractions or that list sometimes will even get in the way where we'll see a list of 10 things to do and we'll go, oh, that's fun. Call Bob about golf, and I'm going to do that. And, you know, that's probably the easiest thing and the thing I'm most excited about, but is it the most relevant, the most important thing that I should execute on now at this moment? You know, the example of getting out and getting started. There's a cue for me when I come home and I'm tired at the end of the day. The TV, you know, it's so easy to turn on the TV, and I know if I turn on the TV, I'm done for the evening because pretty soon, you know, I'm into a show and then I'm more tired. And so one of the key things that I do around executing on it is I make sure that if there's something I need to accomplish and get done that day, that I will do that before I turn on the TV and make sure I'm able to focus and organize around those things that I've identified that I want to accomplish.
Yeah, good point. And getting back to the cycling story, a part of getting to it is also just being physically able to get to it. So you talk about fitness and setting your goals for fitness and getting and sleeping. You know, you're not going to get to it if you're staying up late to get to it because you're just going to wear yourself out.
Yeah, we're the best tool that we have. You know, we mentally and physically making sure that we're able to execute on those things that are most important to us. So, yeah, taking care of ourselves, making sure that we're getting the sleep that we need, making sure that we're getting the exercise, even diet and nutrition, you know, come into play. We're not nutritionists and experts there, but, you know, our point is maybe one of our it's needs to be taking care of ourselves and making sure that we're healthy and able to execute, because if we're ill, we're not going to get a lot done.
Yeah, you know, and some of the things you cite in the book are pretty shocking, but I think well known. Nearly half, 48% of U.S. employees have not engaged in regular physical exercise in the last 30 days. 39% of employees took fewer vacation days than they were eligible for. That one. I look forward to vacation so much.
You're about to leave. Absolutely.
I'm about to take one, and I am so looking forward. I wouldn't dream of not taking the vacation that's available. And a third of the workforce shows signs of clinical depression.
That's a big number.
So, you talk about the need for warning signs so that you can step away from the computer.
Yeah, most definitely. And to the middle statistic that you mentioned, I mean, the reason why people don't take time off is because they're overwhelmed. And they think in their minds by stepping away from their work, it's just going to get worse, right? I mean, the avalanche is going to continue, and I'm going to continue to get buried. And the best thing for me is to keep at it. And the reality is, in our first book, we talk about intermissions and the importance of taking an intermission. But by taking an intermission, taking a break, taking a vacation, to your point, we really can come back to work healthier and with a clearer mind and can jump back into our tasks and get more accomplished.
Well, and I think that's an important point that, you know, there are some frameworks that we're using that may be doing us more harm than good. You mentioned some folks think, gee, if I take vacation, things are going to pile up even more. But Larry, as you point out, you need to get away from it and relax so that you can bring a fresh attitude to your job. Another truism that you talk about in your book that I've heard a couple times, but I think it bears repeating, which is this fallacy that we can multitask. Would you talk to us about your thoughts about can people really multitask?
Yeah, that was a big buzzword, wasn't it? I mean, 10 or 15 years ago, I'm multitasking and, you know, I'm getting more things done. The reality is we have a single processor brain. We're not like a supercomputer or, you know, my laptop that has dual processors that can handle multiple tasks at the same time. Our brain is really wired to focus on one thing at one time. And when we multitask, really what we're doing is jumping between two tasks. And our mind is literally going from one task to the other just very quickly. So that brings mental fatigue. It brings distraction. It brings lack of focus. So with physical things, you know, I can listen to the radio while I'm riding my bike. You know, that's not going to be harmful. But, you know, with certain things we've learned and know, like texting or using our cell phones while driving, that, you know, increased the opportunity for distraction and, you know, accidents occur. It's the same thing while working. If I have to really mentally focus on a project or something that I'm working on, and meanwhile my email is dinging and pinging, my phone is ringing, people are knocking on the doors, I am not going to be able to give that focus that is necessary to accomplish that project. And accomplish it well. I mean, I might get it done, but it might not be as good as it would be if I turn off all the distractions, remove the distractions, and really focus on that one item. Multitasking is, studies have shown that, it takes longer when you multitask to accomplish things, and then the quality goes down as well.
Yeah, I think that the most common example in an office is talking on the phone and reading your email. You're not really concentrating on your email, and you're having a lousy conversation to boot.
Yeah, you hope nobody asked you a question.
Or gave you something to follow up on.
Yeah,
exactly. Well, our guest has been Todd Musig. The book is Getting to It, Accomplishing the Important, Handling the Urgent, and Removing the Unnecessary. Todd, thanks for joining us this morning, and good luck with the book.
Larry and Doug, thanks so much.
Thank you, Todd. And just one last point on this, Larry, to show how hard this is. In Todd's acknowledgement at the front of the book, he has a quote he and his co-author wrote, "There were many times during the past 4 years that we wondered if Getting to It, the book, would ever get done." So even for people writing a book on getting to it, it's a challenge for all of us. Thank you, Todd, for joining us. That was a great conversation.
Thank you very much.
Okay, now coming up after the weather, we'll be talking about with Chet Boxley about a new kind of cat litter that's If you're a cat lover, you're going to want to learn about this local startup. And later on, another startup, Rustic Roasters. First, a look at the weather. We got a couple of good days coming. Sunny and in the 60s, 69 for a high today. That's going to be fabulous. Down to 62 tomorrow, mostly sunny. By Wednesday night, the chance of showers comes back. And then by the end of the week, a good chance of rain or snow again. So we're into this pattern where every week starts out nice and ends up in the rain.
It does. As long as the weekend's nice, I'm okay with it. As long as we don't lose our leaves yet. So we'll be back in a moment. You're listening to Mountain Money on KPCW. Stay tuned.
Underwriting on KPCW is supported by Mountain West Bank in Park City, a community bank offering home financing service and guidance. Mountain West Bank is located near Kearns Boulevard next to the movie theater. More information at mountainwestbank.com. Division of Glacier Bank, member FDIC, equal housing lender.
Hola, soy Jorge, uno de los anfitriones de Cada Domingo. Escuche Cada Domingo en KPCW 91.9 FM todos los domingos en las tardes de las 7 a las 10 p.m. Tenemos música, información de la comunidad y perdidos y encontrados. Por favor, denle like o me gusta a la página Facebook de Cada Domingo. Cada Domingo, solo en Park City, solo KPCW. Hi, I'm Jorge, one of the hosts for KPCW's Cada Domingo. You can hear Cada Domingo every Sunday evening on KPCW 91.9 FM from 7 to 10 p.m., where you can hear music, community information, and lost and founds. Please like the KPCW Cada Domingo Facebook page. Cada Domingo, only in Park City, only on KPCW.
This is Tom Roney with Prudential Utah Real Estate, and we're happy to support KPCW. Prudential Utah has been helping locals and visitors with their real estate needs since 1976. Our agents know the community and the local market. More information can be found online at prud-utah.com or at one of our 14 offices throughout Park City.
Welcome back to Mountain Money. That was an interesting conversation with Todd Musting talking to us about prioritization and getting things done. His book is Getting to It. In studio with us now is Park City local Chet Boxley. And Chet, you had an idea for a better product in your world that turned out to be a better cat litter. So thank you for joining us, and tell us, why is your cat litter better?
Well, thank you for having me on. We started developing our cat litter several years ago, mostly because the clay litter market is very environmentally damaging when you mine it. But it performs so incredibly well that there wasn't a way to have both a good performing product as well as a product that is environmentally friendly. And so we set out to design something that could accomplish both goals. So we make a product that's called Perfect Harmony, and it's made of 85% recycled materials, but it's clumping clay litter, so it's clay-like. Your cat thinks it's clay. It looks like clay. It feels like clay, but yet it's environmentally friendly.
So what's it made out of? You have a little beaker here, and it looks like...
So I realize I'm on the radio, and you can't see this, but... It's
just
like
little granules, probably smaller than your typical cat litter, as I recall it from our cat days. This is much smaller grains, right?
So it's a little smaller than your traditional clumping litters,
but it's very similar. I see specks of several different colors. Do those represent different materials that are
there? Are there's a little bit of chemistry up that's involved. So being a scientist and a chemist by training, we force ourselves to do some science and engineering every once in a while. And so the blue and the white crystals there in there, they're all there for odor control. And so we want to have, a high-performing product that can compete with clay litters, even though it's not necessarily made out of a bentonite clay that's mined out of the earth. So since this is a money show, you realize there's like a $1.5 billion market for clay litter in the United States alone each year. And so when 70% of that market is dominated by clay clumping litters. And so, but when they scoop it out of the earth, they mine it, they have these big, heavy bucket machinery machines that just
like a strip mine?
Strip mine,
like
exactly.
A coal strip mine?
Exactly, strip mine. And so they swipe off the overburden, dig down in the 10, 20 feet deep that they want where the clay is, and they scoop it out at 4 million tons a year in the United States for cat litter.
And then it all goes into the landfill.
And then eventually it all goes into the landfill, yeah. So it's just very environmentally damaging because you're stripping off that overburden, pulling out the underneath earth.
So are there kitty litter clay centers in the country, or does it all come from certain places?
The clay litter mines, some of them are in Wyoming, Montana area. There's a big bentonite mine there. some of the southeast, like Texas and Louisiana area, there's some bentonite mines down there. So it's all different qualities of bentonite as well. It's not just used for litter.
That's what I was going to ask. What's the biggest use for bentonite clay?
Biggest use is litter. The second biggest use is actually for drilling mud in the oil and gas industry.
Okay.
So because it does have a clumping capacity, so you can use it for a mud-type substance.
But it's not used like in bricks for construction.
It can be. That's just not one of the largest markets. Those are the two largest markets that consume most of that
so
formula.
If we weren't worried about the environment, is there enough kitty litter to last us? And enough clay are we going to have? Can we be the OPEC of kitty litter if we really wanted to be?
I don't know that there's a clay shortage. Yeah, that's a good question, though.
The clay cartel.
So we did set off to create something that looked like clay and feel like clay, but was more environmentally responsible.
Because a cat is particular about where he does his business?
Yeah, one of the things about the naturals that have come on board, so there's some wheat-based, some corn-based materials and things like that. They don't perform as well as the clay litters, it's because they're not, sort of that clay type material. It's not dirt in a pan, ultimately, right? And so what you see a lot of times is cats will have a rejection, so they won't use that litter because it's not a substrate that their paws are familiar with. It's not dirt outside. They were, usually outside animals for the longest time, and now we've brought them as to be indoor pets.
Right.
And so this material, that's why we want it to look like clay, is because we want to eliminate that issue of any cat rejections that may occur.
You wanted to fool the cat. So this is a classic example of a better idea, right? Your motivation was you were seeing the environmental impacts. You're trained as a scientist. You said, I can do this better. You've now come up with a product that is better. And now you face the classic situation of how do I get the story out? How do I sell it?
How do I grow this?
So talk to us about that side of the business.
So part of it is we kicked off a relationship with Friends of Animals in Ferberbia here in Park City. So Lisa Allison's been very helpful with us. And so one of the things that along the way as we were starting to develop this product, you have some oopses along the way. So you don't make some quality product necessarily all the time. And so what we did was rather than throw that material away, being an environmentally friendly company, we said, what can we do with it? And you guys had a guest on last week that had a book about the Generosity Network.
Mm-hmm.
Two authors that were on. And so it was kind of that same situation where we sort of reached out to our network and said, how can we engage in a different way with some of our friends that are in the nonprofit industry? And so that's when we contacted Lisa and said, we have some off-spec litter that doesn't meet our quality standards. Rather than throw it away, we would like to give it to you at the ranch. And so she took it and has been using it for a good portion of this year. The unfortunate thing is, as we've got really good at making our litter, our donations to her have dwindled. And so we come up with a second plan to say, okay, how can we still support and help our local community? And so that's when we came up with this idea. Lisa and I had coffee one morning and we said, if we start selling out of Ferberbia, you can go buy the Perfect Harmony bags at Ferberbia right now. So you buy a bag and then I'll donate a bag to the ranch to help continue helping Lisa out with their needs at the ranch. So it's kind of the Tom's model, buy a bag, get a bag.
Right. Yeah.
And so it's been working out fairly well. So now it's on sale and you can go in there and it seems like it's nice for us because we can start to get customer feedback with real cats and real customers. And,
right.
I guess the cat owners are the consumers, but the ultimate consumers are the cats.
Yep.
And you needed your R&D time there at the ranch.
Either one of those people rejects
plenty of
cat
customers out at
done.
The ranch there too.
Okay. So how do you make it? There's probably some trade secrets involved, but what is this? It's not shredded newspapers. What is it?
It's not shredded newspapers. It's ash. It's everything that doesn't burn. And so it's, all across the country, we burn a lot of stuff. And so normally that stuff is landfilled completely. And so rather than letting it be landfilled, we divert it away from those sources and convert it into this.
So what are sources of ash?
The biggest one would be coal-fired power plants. So, there's 600 coal-fired power plants across the country. But it essentially, you have boilers of all types, natural gas boilers and things like that.
But do they pay you to take the material or do you have to pay for it?
Oh, I wish.
There are businesses where you get paid. In that case, I thought there was a chance that maybe you were getting paid to take away their materials.
Yeah, landfill space is at a premium, obviously.
Right.
Since we're out west, landfill space is a little bit less at a premium than I'm back on the East Coast.
Right.
And so they know it has inherent value as there's an inherent chemistry. People call it waste. We call it chemistry to us, right? It's all oxide materials. So it's silicon oxide, aluminum oxide, right. Iron oxide. Same thing as bentonite clay. It's just in different ratios. So mm-hmm. that's why we say we actually really are clay. It's just not clay that's mined. So
Right. Chemically, very similar.
Chemically, it's almost identical. It's just different ratios of the chemicals right. that are present. So,
and I saw Lisa at the Miss Kitty Barking Ball, which is their big fundraiser last Saturday. And shout out to Sharon Cantwell and Lisa and everybody else. You did an excellent job with that. But Lisa gave me a heads up that you were going to be on the show this morning. And I asked her, and her impression was that the cat litter is about the same price that people would go to the grocery store and buy cat litter. Is that correct?
That's a fair statement. That's the other thing. We not only do want to look like clay, we want to feel like clay, but we want to cost like clay. So we don't want the consumer to have to pay a premium just to be environmentally friendly.
And on top of that, boy, if you could continue this program where when somebody buys a bag, you donate a bag. Right? There's a couple other businesses that I've seen online where, you know, somebody's doing nonprofit work in Africa, and the way they're funding that is by selling things online. And when you buy a hat, they give a hat to somebody in Africa, or a pair of, I think it was actually shoes. Uh-huh. So I think that could be potentially, if the margins are such that it makes sense for you, that could potentially be a really interesting business model.
It's been fun so far, that's for sure. And right. Lisa's been very helpful.
Okay, now talk a little bit about the physical. Where do you make this? Where do you gather it? Where do you make it? How do you distribute it?
Our manufacturing site is down in Salt Lake City. It's just about 5 minutes from the airport. And so most of our raw materials we get from near Utah, if not in Utah. And so there's a 4 or 5 step manufacturing process that we use to convert the ash into the products. And then we have a mixing step that's at the end, and then a packaging step at final. And so from there, we distribute it out to various stores. There's 4 or 5 stores down in Salt Lake that you can buy that.
So you're in your infancy. You're in 4 or 5
very
stores
much
and
Ferberbia. Yes. Okay. Yeah, we're very much in our infancy, although we're trying to expand to new markets and with larger pet stores and things like that. And
is there competition for environmentally friendly cat litter?
There is. It's pretty pretty good competition, too. The nice thing about it, there's nobody else that has a product like this, though. You're either a weed, a recycled newspaper, a corn-based, walnut shells, pine.
You're compromising on quality and how it clumps. I don't have a cap, but I guess that's
we're not,
important.
Actually,
I'm saying that's what the compromise is with the other alternatives.
Yes, with those, you go environmentally friendly, but you don't get the performance of a clay.
Right.
It's the gold standard, and it's really hard to...
And are you doing this part-time, or is this your full-time endeavor?
This is our full-time endeavor. We quit our jobs about a year ago and built our manufacturing facility. We spec'd it out, designed it.
That's expensive to do. Funded
it
mostly
is.
By friends and family and self-funded, or do you have outside investors?
We have one outside investor in Golden, Colorado.
Okay. So. Well, congratulations. That's a hard space. It's not, Web 2.0. It's not iOS games for smartphones. So that's a hard space to raise money, so congratulations.
Well, thank you. I appreciate you having me on, too.
Well, good luck with Perfect Solutions. Chet Boxley's been our guest. And again, what's the deal at Ferberbia if you buy it there?
Again, at Ferberbia, if you buy a bag, we'll donate a bag to the ranch for Friends of Animals.
And go ahead and give a plug for the stores in Salt Lake City where people can buy it.
There's a store called Mark's Ark. There's a store in Tooele that's Pet Planet. Rockstar Pets.
So the easiest place is right here, Ferberbia. Drive down,
go to
buy a bag. A bag gets donated.
You can go to Facebook and do Harmony Litter, and it lists all of our sites.
Okay, very fine. Well, thanks very much for joining us, and we will now turn our attention to hot dogs and s'mores and marshmallows and a stylish way to roast them.
Good teaser. In a moment. Stay tuned.
Yes.
Many know that Botox can help with migraines, but don't know where to turn for qualified headache care. Locally, Dr. Andy Talbot can help ease the life-altering headaches with Botox treatment. Park City Spine and Pain Clinic is an Intermountain healthcare facility with highly skilled pain management providers. If migraines are a concern, they can help at 435-658-7470. Intermountain Healthcare is a nonprofit organization.
This is Craig McCarthy with the Park City Chamber Bureau. Do you know that members of the Park City Chamber Bureau have access to a wide array of benefits that give them an edge in the local marketplace? We offer members-only insurance and discount programs, business-to-business networking opportunities, and much more. Becoming a member of the Park City Chamber Bureau is a great investment for your business. Information on joining is online at visitparkcity.com or call us at 649-6100. The Park City Chamber Bureau is a nonprofit organization.
Juniper Landing is proud to support our local radio station, KPCW. Juniper Landing is a new, whole ownership townhome community located at the base of Canyons Resort, adjacent to the Waldorf Astoria Park City, with a model open daily. Our website is juniperlandingparkcity.com.
Welcome back to Mountain Money. Interesting conversation. I never thought cat litter could be so fascinating.
Well,
when you
I
have
was,
somebody
I was,
that passionate.
Yeah, I was scratching my head on, okay, how do we do 15 minutes on cat litter?
But we
could
did
have done
it,
10
was,
more.
Yeah, exactly. And it was interesting. So thank you, Chet, for coming in from Perfect Solutions. In studio with us now is Stephen Weimer. He is with Rustic Roasters. We put out the teaser earlier about a better marshmallow roasting stick. And Stephen, welcome to Mound Money. You've brought in a couple of these roasting sticks, and they're beautiful.
Hello. Thanks for having me. I really appreciate the opportunity to talk about Rustic Roasters.
So give our audience an idea. What does Rustic Roasters do?
Rustic Roasters is a slice of Park City all bundled up in a gift set that we can ship anywhere in North America. And what we do is we make, from start to finish, custom roasting sets out of fallen timber here locally from the Uinta Mountains, as well as antler sheds. And then we craft them and hopefully make them into a really high-quality luxury piece that we have here in studio to take a look at.
I love the way you put that. It's a slice of Park City, all bundled up, and you can ship to other people. That's the perfect way to set that imagery for your business.
Thank you. I appreciate that. And we're so lucky to be in such a marvelous place to have this setting. And the way it is right now, it's pretty awesome. I really enjoy having it, and having the opportunity to make them is a pleasure for me.
Did you just – are you somebody who walks around and picks stuff up and wonder what else you could repurpose it for?
It is – I have to say check yes to that. My wife sometimes – Marty has a chuckle at me. Sometimes we'll be driving down the road and I'll see something falling on the side and I pull over. Yes, and definitely inspect it and see if there may be some good utilities for it.
Hopefully that doesn't include roadkill.
We try to stay away from the roadkill, and we definitely have some limitations in it.
But you are finding antler horns out there, and of course there are places you can buy it from other horn hunters, and you're using timber, and I see a coat rack made from timbers that has some nice saw cuts that gives it some character in it as well. So what's the range of products? You have antler and timber-handled roasting sticks, but you have a whole line of things made from nature as well.
Yes, absolutely. So our goal would be to deliver a complete backyard fire pit experience, and our iconic products that that we try to call our statements are definitely our roaster sets, and we use our local fallen timber. Like you had said, we sell them in sets of twos or fours. The timber can also be customized or engraved with different names, as well as our antler sheds that we find locally. We do try to locate all of the antler sheds ourselves. We have identified, as we scale up and our business grows, some qualified resellers that, but one of the things that we try to live by is we only use antler sheds that have naturally fallen. And although we totally love the hunters, and we have a program actually, if have some of the hunters that may not have that trophy, antlers season. And that closet is filling up with too many and don't want another European mount. Well, we're developing something where they can actually send us their antlers, and we'll cut those up and we'll make them into beautiful s'mores roaster sets for themselves as well. Just another alternative to maybe having a lot of those antlers stack up.
So we were talking before you came in about how back in the old days we'd take a coat hanger and unwrap it and stick a hot dog on the end of it, and maybe wrap a cloth around the hot end that you were holding. And
That was for wimps.
and that pretty much seemed good enough. But I guess this is Park City and Deer Valley, and that just won't do.
You know, that definitely is an option. And, hey, you got to be useful, and you got to have it be full of utility. But maybe if you're looking for a different experience, then take a look at Rustic Roasters, and we may be able to elevate that experience from the coat hanger to something else.
Well, the one problem with the coat hanger is, with a wiener, it tended to
a little heavy
bend at the end because it was so heavy. So, this is a thicker steel rod here.
It is a we use a the highest quality stainless steel that we know that is available for it, and they're extremely sturdy and durable.
Well, and you put it well, right? I mean, it's the Park City experience. So you go back to framing it as an experience, and that's exactly what it is, right? We live here in Park City, but I grew up in Cleveland, Ohio. The experience is different, and this is a little slice of Park City. And you mentioned earlier the term you used was the fire pit experience, I believe.
Yes. You know, I think families now have moved a lot from the inside of the house to moving to the outside of the house as an extension of their living. And, you know, we have all these great luxuries on the inside of the house, and hopefully we can make them some luxuries for the outside of the house as well, too.
Well, I suspect it's an affordable luxury, too, right? You're not going to break the bank by buying four roasters.
No, definitely not. And our goal is hopefully everybody can get a set of Rustic Roasters at some point. But our prices start at $59 for a set of our two timber roasters and up from, for our antler roasters.
And how is this a full-time job, or is this a garage hobby, or have you made this into a business?
You know, I think in today's economy and how challenging it is to do anything, I think that to not have both feet in is a challenging proposition. So we're definitely taking it seriously and making it full time, and and doing as much work as possible to get the word out and have opportunities like this is something that we're incredibly grateful for.
Well, let's keep on getting the word out. You've got the roasters. Larry mentioned the hanging item here. And then it looks like maybe you've got some coasters that people can use in their office for resting drinks on.
Absolutely, and that's exactly right. And what we have is our rustic timber coasters, we call them. And it's also similar to our timber roasters, but with the exception of we use bigger fallen timber, and we cut them into smaller timber rings, and then we hand forge different local Rocky Mountain animals, wildlife into them, and we finish them into a very nice gloss finish. We sell them in sets of fours, and we can also monogram those if anybody had any interest in doing something more personal. And I think they look pretty great. It was one of those things that as we were trying to create that backyard complete experience, these kind of came to us, and we're pretty excited about them also.
For the backyard experience, and also if you have a mountain-themed home, something like this would fit right in.
You're so right. And if you were to see them, the materials still have that rustic timber look on them. We use a variety of trees on them. And the one that we have right here is a fir, and you can actually still see the bark lining on it and the tree rings. And then with the hand-forged animals, I think they look pretty
good. So that's like a branding iron you burn into a design into each coaster.
It is a branding iron, and you definitely have to get them scorching hot and have a lot of scars to prove it, too.
A few burns along the way in the learning experience. Well, is there a limit to what you can do with a fallen tree and antler, or are you coming up with new ideas all the time?
Really, we think the sky is the limit. We really like the products that we have, but we're going to definitely continue to look at every opportunity that's there and to reuse some of the local materials that we've been gifted here by the Rocky Mountain nature. And if our theme is we want to have high quality items that are unique and different, and if we can provide that in a different non-commercial setting, we would love to continue to innovate.
And Stephen, how do folks find out if they're interested in seeing some samples online? Where would they go, and how do they reach out to your company?
Great. Yes, the name of the website is Rustic Roasters, and you know, we continue to develop our site and try to listen to our customers and any way we can prove. So we love feedback. You can always email me at Stephen, that's with a V, at Rustic Roasters, or info at Rustic Roasters, and we will definitely love to hear any kind of feedback we can to improve and make products.
Well, So how are you marketing? Are you mostly an internet company, or are you trying to get in stores?
We do. We are a combination of both. We have some wonderful resorts here locally that we've started some discussions with and have delivered a few of them, and definitely the ones that have that s'mores experience for their customers and guests. We would love to work a relationship out for wholesale. So any potential resorts, we'd love to talk with you. And also we do our direct-to-consumer through our website.
Okay.
Well, I go up and participate in the s'mores that they do at the Montage occasionally.
Yes.
So I'll be sure to mention it the next time I'm up there as well. Hopefully they reach out to you.
You've been on notice, Montage. Thank you. Heard it here first.
Well, Stephen, our guest, Stephen Weimer, I love your title here, Chief Roaster at Rustic Roasters. Thank you for joining us this morning.
Thank you all so much. I truly appreciate it.
And we'll be back to wrap up Mountain Money after this.
Tune in to KPCW every Tuesday morning at 9 to hear This Green Earth.
We'll cover environmental issues from local to global, from snowpack to giant squid,
geothermal energy to gray wolves,
and honeybees to sustainable chocolate. Brought to you by Jones, Waldo, Holbrook, and McDonough,
Republic Services,
Habitat for Humanities Restore,
and Rocky Mountain Power.
Park City Realty Group is proud to support KPCW. Park City Realty Group has provided real estate services to buyers and sellers since 2005. Our team shares local knowledge and insight with clients who value the Park City lifestyle. Knowledge plus hard work equals success. 649-1991 or parkcityrealtygroup.com.
Additional funding for programming on KPCW has been provided by Long Reimer Weiniger Bepler, Estate Planning, Family Law, LRW-LAW.com. Park City Nursery. For 30 years, we know what grows. ParkCityNursery.com. VaultHomeLoans.com. Purchase and refinance mortgages. Conventional, FHA, and VA. 801-201-3484. The Corporation for Public Broadcasting and listeners like you.
And welcome back to Mountain Money. And, Doug, we've got 3 minutes left to solve the economic woes of America. We're in week two now of the, whatever you want to call it, government shutdown, impasse, stalemate, market not greeting it favorably at all. But it has the potential for getting a whole lot worse.
It does, and unfortunately, that's probably part of the plan, is to create the crisis mentality and to raise the stakes so that a solution has to happen.
And the result of that is that the government will continue in its shutdown mode, I guess, possibly for some time to come.
Yeah, it's unfortunate. Larry, you were telling me this morning that you wrote a letter to the editor of the Salt Lake Tribune. Just, you're about to go on vacation to Europe, and you would think you're not going to be impacted by this in Europe, but unfortunately you are.
I mean, it's not a personal thing, but well, in a sense it is. We have my wife's family has a loved one buried in the American cemetery at Normandy, and no one from the family has been there in 70 years since World War II to pay their respects at his graveside. And we're going there next week, and the cemetery is closed. They are not letting anyone go to the graves, which is just stunning.
And then, you know, and you contrast that with the two guests that we had this morning from here in Park City, you know, that have quit their jobs, are dedicating everything, they're working hard to create their business. And our government should be supporting and helping that type of endeavor. And unfortunately for all of us, it's they've now become an impediment. And I feel it's horrible that I feel that way, but I do.
I mean, we've watched the chaos of other democracies, like at Italy, where they change a government every 14 months,
right,
and so on, and have kind of said, well, thank God we have our American system that always works and always comes up with a solution. And we're
best system in the world, right? Until it's not.
And we are now as chaotic as some of the dysfunctional governments of the world.
Yeah,
I mean, how you could describe it as anything other than dysfunction, I don't know.
I thought Leslie's show this morning had two guests that you could just see. They were at polar opposites, both good people, but clearly at polar opposites on their views. And just listening to that, you can see we're nowhere close to a solution to this problem.
Yeah. So we'll see what this week brings. Well, I want to thank our guests, Todd Musing, Chet Boxley, and Steve Weimer, for their interesting takes on business. And I want to thank our great sponsors, the Park City Realty Group, Mountain West Bank, the Iron Mountain Group, Park City Chamber, Prudential Real Estate, and San Francisco Design. And in our spot tomorrow, This Green Earth with Chris Cherniak and Nell Larson. They've always got a great, interesting show about all things environmental in the West and around the world.
They do. They've got great radio voices, too. I love listening to them.
Indeed. And Nell is back from her adventure in Bhutan, I think it was. Yes. So this is KPCW Park City, and this has been Mountain Money, looking for a high of 69 under sunny skies today. Get out there and enjoy it.